Oops, there's high points, but there's low points as well. And Lamentations was written at a low point, probably at the lowest point after the fall. And it's summed up in that verse of the song that we just sung that said, Solomon brought wisdom and blessing, but then division, rebellion, so God punished them, sent them away. The people rebelled against God, so he punished them. He sent them away out of the land into a terrible exile. And Lamentations was written at that terrible, terrible time. It's 587 BC. The Babylonian army has surrounded Jerusalem for almost 2 years. So no one could go in for those 2 years. No one could come out. They ravaged the land. There's no food. People ran out of food and water. They're starving to death. Children died in their mother's arms. Babylonian soldiers, they broke through the walls after 2 years. They raided the temple. They took all the items of gold, silver, and bronze. And then they burned the temple to the ground. That symbol of God's presence with his people, gone. And then the royal palaces were burned down too, and the brutal soldiers ransacked the homes and the houses of Jerusalem. They smashed them to pieces. They put men and women in chains, and they carried many, many of them away into a strange and foreign land. And for the few people who remained in Jerusalem and Judah, the surrounding area, life was no better than slavery in Babylon. The city and the land were ruined. Life was miserable. Children had died, and families had been torn apart. Great suffering. And the sober truth is that this was God's judgment on his people. That the Babylonians were sent by God to punish Israel. And we might think, whew, that's harsh. But actually, we need to remember that it was a just and deserved punishment. Remember, God loved them so much. He gave the Israelites his good rules about how to live the happy life, but they just refused to follow them. God made his home, his dwelling amongst them. And they said, we're not that bothered about God living amongst us. In fact, we don't really want him here with us. And so God sent prophet after prophet after prophet, warning the people of where their stubborn refusal to love him is going to lead, pleading with them to come back to him, but they just wouldn't listen. And instead of loving God, they loved false gods. And so God be so patient with them, so patient. But one day his patience ran out. And so he did what he promised he'd do, and he sent the Babylonians. And that's why there was this terrible devastation in 587 BC. And so that's helpful to remember, isn't it? That the mournings that the writer is talking about in our verse for the year, morning by morning, or they are new every morning, the mournings that he's talking about are 587 BC mournings in Jerusalem. It's the saddest time in the history of God's Old Testament people. Lamentations is the saddest book in the Bible. To lament, you know what that means, don't you? It means to grieve, to mourn deeply, deep, deep sorrow expressed. And that's what Lamentations is. It's a book of laments. It's a book of mourning, a book of deep guilt and deep grief. And it's as the writer laments this terrible destruction, cries his heart out over this terrible and tragic result of Israel's sin against God, that he says to God, great is your faithfulness. So you see, those words were not written on a deck chair by a nice still lake on a lovely summer's day, were they? They were written in the rubble and ruin of a smashed city and a smashed people. So do you see that the context, the setting, helps us to start to appreciate what he's saying there, that expression of faith? It's like a Christian woman in China that I read about who in the late 1930s said to some missionaries, this is what she said, I will not let go of Jesus Christ. And you hear that or read that and you think, oh, that's nice. That's lovely. I'm not going to let go of Jesus Christ. But then, when you understand the setting of those words, when she said those words, puts a whole different spin on them. So at that time, the Japanese army were rampaging through China. They were brutal, and they were cruel and heartless, causing great suffering and devastation. And what she said to those missionaries was, my house has been burned twice. Four of my six relatives there are dead. My brother was branded with a hot iron and is dead. My daughter-in-law was shot before my eyes, dead. And my only grandson has died of exposure. But I will not let go of Jesus Christ. And when you hear it in that context, it puts a new depth into it, doesn't it? You think, you don't think, well, that's nice, that's lovely. You think, whoa, that's amazing. And that's how it is with Lamentations chapter 3, verses 22 and 23. So let's read some of the chapter. We're going to see it in its immediate context. You can find it in the Bibles on page 826. 826. It will come up on the screen as well. We're going to read from verse 1 down to verse 24. So do follow it with me as I read. And look out for our verses. Lamentations 3, verse 1. I am the man who has seen affliction by the rod of the Lord's wrath. He has driven me away and made me walk in darkness rather than light. Indeed, he has turned his hand against me again and again all day long. He has made my skin and my flesh grow old and has broken my bones. He has besieged me and surrounded me with bitterness and hardship. He's made me dwell in darkness like those long dead. He has walled me in so that I cannot escape. He's weighed me down with chains. Even when I call out or cry for help, he shuts out my prayer. He has barred my way with blocks of stone. He's made my paths crooked. Like a bear lying in wait, like a lion in hiding. He dragged me from the path and mangled me, left me without help. He drew his bow and made me the target for his arrows. He pierced my heart with arrows from his quiver. I became the laughingstock of all my people. They mock me in song all day long. He has filled me with bitter herbs and given me gall to drink. He has broken my teeth with gravel. He's trampled me in the dust. I have been deprived of peace. I've forgotten what prosperity is. So I say, my splendor is gone, and all that I'd hoped for from the Lord. I remember my affliction and my wandering, the bitterness and the gall. I well remember them, and my soul is downcast within me. Yet this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. I say to myself, the Lord is my portion. Therefore, I will wait for him. You get to see something of the context there of Lamentations, the darkness, the death, the judgments, the lamenting, the complaint to God, and seeing God almost as an enemy, like an enemy. And yet, we come to our verses, and they're like light, aren't they? It's a relief. There's a light shining in the darkness here. There's hope. I just want to home in now and look at our verses a little more closely, just for a few moments. So we're just going to start with Lamentations 3, 17 and 18 on the screen. Remember what he said? He said, I've been deprived of peace. I've forgotten what prosperity or happiness is. The word can be happiness there. So I say my splendor or my endurance, my strength is gone, and all that I had hoped from the Lord. Do you see where he's at? He's at rock bottom. His hope is gone. It sounds like he's given up, doesn't it? It's over. There's no hope. And maybe that's where you are today. Maybe that's where you've been in 2022. So you can relate to that. But then look at what he says in verse 21. He says, yet this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. So he goes from having no hope, you see that, verse 17, to I have hope in verse 21. How? How come? Why? Well, see that it's because he calls something to mind. You see that? He has hope because he calls something to mind. And what does he call to mind? Lamentations 3, verse 22 and 23. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. That's why. That's the reason. Because of the Lord's great love. Just look at that verse, that phrase. Israel is not consumed. They're not exterminated. They're not done away with. They've been devastated, but they're not finished off. They should have been finished off because of the way they treated God. They should have been, but they haven't been. And why not? Is it because some of them, this small remnant, they've been faithful to the Lord? No, they're all guilty. None of them have been faithful to the Lord. The only reason they haven't been completely done away with is because of the Lord's great love. And the word for great love there is a special word in the Bible, Hebrew word hesed, and it's a word for God's special love. Love really doesn't do the word justice. Great love, actually, doesn't do the word justice. It's loyal love. Loyal love. It's describing God's covenant love for his people that was behind that promise to Abraham when he said he'd bless the world through him. He'd bless him, he'd bless the world through him. It's love that has committed itself to someone and will never, ever, ever let go. Tenacious love, ongoing love. And that's why it's sometimes translated as steadfast love. You might know that translation, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases, or unfailing love. It's love that has stickability. It's love with super glue on it. Once it sticks to you, it never lets go of you. That's the love we're talking about. God set his love on Abraham and his family. He promised Abraham that he would never leave him. And that's why they're not consumed. And they're also not consumed, notice, because his compassions never fail. They're not finished because the Lord's compassion hasn't finished. His mercy to them isn't finished. Sometimes that word compassion is translated mercy. His mercies never fail. They're just always there. So many things in life fail. Think about things that fail. The trains fail. Anyone had experience of that last few days? A few groans, yeah. The trains fail. The economy fails. Our money fails. The NHS fails. Our health fails. Our memory fails. Our friends fail. Our team fails. And the thing that fails most in life is my love for God and your love for God. That's the thing that fails most. But God's love never fails. Never. Never, ever fails. His compassions are new every morning. That is, they never run out. You've got the same truth in Micah chapter 7, verse 18, which is a wonderful verse in the Bible. I'll just read out what it says to you. It says this about the Lord who's praying to him. He says, "You do not stay angry forever, but delight to show mercy." You delight to show mercy. It's the same thing here. You know, what do you delight to do? What do you delight to do? I delight to play football, so I do it often. When you delight to do something, you try and do it as often as possible. You look for opportunities to do it. And God delights to show mercy. He loves doing it. He loves it not just once, but again and again and again. And that's why his mercies or his compassions are new every morning. They just keep coming. He loves to show mercy every day. And what the writer of Lamentations is saying is that the gospel of Exodus 34, verses 6 and 7, is true. We're not going to put it up on the screen. Who can tell me what Exodus 34, 6 and 7 is? Maybe look it up in the Bible. Let's close our Bibles. Let's find it. First person to find it, put your hand up, get to read it. Exodus 34, verses 6 and 7. Okay, after three, we're going to close the Bibles. Oh, you found it already. Close the Bible. See if you can get it again. After three, 3, 2, 1, go! You've got to be willing to read it out, by the way, if you find it. Okay. We've got a winner. Anna Marie. Six and seven. 34, six and seven.
And he passed in front of Moses, proclaiming, "The Lord, the Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands and forgiving wickedness, rebellion and sin. Yet he does not leave the guilty unpunished. He punishes the children and their children for the sin of the parents to the third and fourth generation."
Thank you. There it is upon the screen. The author of Lamentations would know about God not leaving the guilty unpunished. He's a just God, and yet the thing that triumphs is God's grace, his mercy, his faithfulness. And I'm sure that truth is in the back of his mind as he's writing Lamentations 3. Remember, as that Exodus 34 is upon the screen there, that's the answer that God gave to Moses on Mount Sinai. Remember, Moses said to God, show me what you're like, I want to see you. And God says, you can't see me, anyone who sees me dies, but I'll pass by and I'll proclaim my name to you. And so that's the truth about who God is, the heart of his being, compassionate, gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness. And I think it's important that we understand when God said that. He said it just after the golden calf incident. Remember that in Exodus, when God's people, they made an idol, a cow idol, and they worshipped it. It's that terrible rebellion at Mount Sinai when they preferred the worship of a cow that they'd made to the living God, the true God. Why didn't God wipe them out? Why didn't he do away with them? Because of this, because of what he's like. It's the only answer, because of the miracle of his character. And what our writer in Lamentations 3 is saying, in our verses, is saying, that was true in 1400 BC, and it's still true today. It's still true in 587 BC. God is still like this, and that's why we're not consumed. And that's why I've got hope, because of what God is like. You see, he recalls the truth about God, and that's when he moves from despair to hope. And he was right to have hope, wasn't he? Because the exile in Babylon and the destruction of Jerusalem wasn't the end for God's people. And what was true in 587 BC is still true today, January the 1st, AD 2023. In fact, we see that truth much, much clearer than Moses did or the author of Lamentations did. They look forward to the fulfillment of God's promise to Abraham. We look back to the fulfillment of God's promise to Abraham. And that promised blessing, it came 2,000 years ago with Jesus. Jesus is the clearest sign that Lamentations 3, 22 and 23 is true. Because of the Lord's great love, we're not consumed. We're not consumed because he was consumed in our place. That's the only reason, because of God's great love. He was consumed in our place on the cross. And when we call to mind such great love, such great mercy, such great faithfulness, it stirs up hope within us. In the struggles of life, in the sufferings of life, and in the ongoing mess of our own sinfulness, hope rises as we remind ourselves of who God is and what he's like. He never stops being God. He never stops loving us. He never stops being merciful. He never stops being faithful, ever, even when dark clouds overwhelm us. See, once God has promised to be your God, he will never, ever, ever stop being your God. He will not break that promise, and nothing can loosen his grip on you. Not death, not your sin, not Satan, not suffering, nothing. He will bring you through this world of tears, life in this world of tears, and he will bring you to life of the world to come, where he will wipe away every tear from your eye. And God's people, in God's place, enjoying his blessing. That's where we're going, because of the Lord's unfailing love. When this God is your God through faith in Jesus Christ, you can never ever be without hope. Why is that? Because you can never ever be without his love. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies, his compassions never come to an end. They never fail. They are new every morning. And so we say, great is your faithfulness, O Lord. Great is your faithfulness.